What a chaotic week it's been for our nation. Someone messaged me last weekend that I now had my very own independent country named after me, and it took up six square blocks, city blocks, right? Just yesterday, too, something on a more serious note, of course. Well, both are very serious, but this one, a beautiful statue of St. Junipero Serra was toppled and defaced by a mob of about 100 folks in San Francisco. You know, St. Junipero Serra, canonized by Pope Francis in 2015, brought the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving gospel, to California and established several missions there. But that this whole mob mentality that's kind of sweeping through many American cities, you know, instead the movement of building upon the legacy of Martin Luther King that he exemplified is unfortunately being drowned out by this kind of stuff of people who are returning evil for evil. With the vitriol and violence that's swirling around our American cities, the sentiments expressed by Jeremiah in today's first reading may be resonating with a lot of people hearing them this weekend. As you know, the readings of the church are universal throughout the entire world. And we heard Jeremiah say, "I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch for any misstep of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped, then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him." That's what Jeremiah was experiencing way back then. The prophet Jeremiah answered God's command to call the nation of Israel to repent, for it had turned away from God and was committing all kinds of abominations that were dividing families and the nation and destroying people's lives. And because the people did not want to change in their self-righteousness, they turned against the prophet Jeremiah and plotted to do away with him. So Jeremiah, he was on edge, right? Afraid of what they might do next to try to entrap him. So many people in our society today are on edge, aren't they? They live in fear and do not feel the freedom to express themselves and talk things out of fear of the mob mentality that has taken over public discourse. And when that happens, when we don't give one another the respect and the room to work things out openly because of fear of character assassination or losing our job or losing our friends or what it may mean for the reputation or safety even of our own family members, and we feel forced to be silent, those unresolved feelings fester inside and they breed further resentment and even deeper division. This is why threats and violence are never the answer. Going further down that road of might makes right, which is the path that we're taking, swirls into more intensified violence and eventually leads to totalitarian rule and enslavement if it's not stopped by whoever is mightier rather than whoever is on the side of true justice, true peace, true freedom, and the common good. And the first step to overcoming not just racial division, but also political division, family division, every sort of division, is mutual understanding. Reach out to your neighbors, listen to one another. That's what we wanted to encourage when we've posted on our Facebook page that 3-minute video of a black brother in the Lord, Basil Hampton, and I, describing what led to our afternoon discussion with one another. We wanted to encourage people to talk to one another about their fears and their hopes. And I think more often than not, if you do that, what you'll find is that we're all desirous of those very same things: true justice, peace, freedom, and the common good. There is, however, a common enemy to these things. And the enemy is not one another. The enemy ultimately is not the people who disagree with you or some politician or group of politicians. The enemy is not the people of another race, age, sex, or political party. Believe it or not, the enemy is not even those who are complicit in the violence of these times, whether that violence comes in the form of brutality by corrupt cops or in the form of riots and mobs. The only enemy, ultimately, is the one to which Jesus referred in the gospel. Did you catch that? Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." In Jesus' time, people were afraid of the Roman Empire, how brutal it was. It could be Herod and his underlings, or the zealots who fought against those folks. But Jesus is trying to wake people up back then and now to the real and ultimately the only enemy, the accuser, known as Satan or the devil. He is the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. And he is the sower of division, whose sole intent is the destruction of the one human family, God's family. As we saw in the emblematic story of the temptation of Adam and Eve by the serpent, the evil one, from the very beginning, has been working to destroy the human family by getting us to blame who? One another, right? When he really is the one who sowed lies and half-truths, accusations, and pride, so that we begin pointing the finger at everyone else that God has called us to love instead of him, the deceiver. And the great lie that has kept his works hidden is that the devil, a personal force of evil, doesn't exist. Let's make a ridiculous caricature of this evil guy and put horns on him and a pitchfork so that people think he's just a fabrication, some cartoon character. You know, Pope Francis has denounced that heresy time and time again. The Holy Father has warned us about the devil's wiles and how he sets us against each other. And if his existence is not recognized, what do? We start pointing and looking for a human mastermind behind all of this. So instead of recognizing Satan as the mastermind, we paint misguided people who have fallen for his lies, or people who have been enslaved mentally and or spiritually, as the enemy. When Jesus, the good shepherd, has laid down his life to save those very people as well. So let's open our eyes, folks. If you believe that there are personal spiritual beings who are working for your good and my good, the greatest of whom is God, of course, who is love itself, then there is no reason for you not to believe in personal spiritual beings who are working against our good. But if we don't realize their existence, then guess who we're going to blame and scapegoat for all that is evil in the world? each other, which makes peace impossible. And that's part of the reason why, you know, Jesus calls the evil one the ruler of this world. Because there won't be, earth will never be what heaven is because of the prince of the ruler of this world. We were meant not to live in fear of one another. We were meant to live in love of one another. So Jesus says in today's gospel, fear no one. Instead, love one another. We have to understand that the road to mutual understanding, to justice, to peace, and to love of one's neighbor is one that can never be forced. You can't legislate love. That's what we're trying to do now. It's trying to force each other to love one another. But there is no coercion in love. You can't force people not to be racist. You can't force people to be more compassionate. You can't force people to be more considerate of the poor. And if you try, then hearts will be even more hardened and embittered because they feel they have no choice in the matter. That's why the gospel is the answer. Because God doesn't coerce, he invites. There is no true change of heart in coercion and threats. So do not give in to evil. Do not give in to all the lies and deceit of the evil one. Do not give in to the mob mentality and the sower of division behind it. Call him out. Rebuke him and dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to the path that Jesus has laid out for us, which does involve the cross, but it does end in resurrection, true life, the abundant life. The one who perseveres to the end in that way, in that truth, and in that life will be saved. That little country in the middle of Seattle, they're not wholeheartedly misguided in the sense that they're trying to look for that kingdom where there is justice, where there is peace. But as they're quickly realizing, without the Holy Spirit, that personal force for good in their life, and without every single person within those six city blocks surrendering to the lordship of that Holy Spirit in their life, that peace is impossible. They're looking for heaven on earth. It's not going to come until Jesus reigns. And the church is actually the body of Christ that Jesus has founded to be a light to the nations. This is what Jesus means, that we as the Christian body need to be a light to the nations. Because the kingdom of God is at hand, doesn't mean it's the definitive reality yet, but the kingdom of God is at hand because the church is at hand, who each of us are called to surrender to that lordship of Jesus Christ in our own individual lives so that we can love one another as our master loved. Let us dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly to that path.